As Kim said, my name's Johnny. I have the privilege of being able to lead the team here at Mosaic, and it's been a first exciting couple of months. We've launched. We like Kim mentioned last week. We spoke through what it is to be a member, what it is to be all in here at Mosaic Church, and why it matters to be all in for Jesus and his church family, and just gave people a chance to say, yeah, I'm all in, or heck no, see you later. Also, we shared in the evening as well. If you were not there, I did say, I sent an email out this week with all this information on it, but we mentioned Sunday evening about Simon and Andy coming onto the eldership team here at Mosaic as well. And so I just want to echo what I've mentioned there at that meeting in the email. If you've got any response to that, whether it's positive or negative, just send an email. Let us know how you feel towards that. It'd be really good. We want to have a healthy church and healthy church leadership. So do let us know about that. Also, if you didn't respond last week, if you were not here, as Kim said, there are things at the back. Why don't you chat to us as well? It's not about filling a form in. It's about, let's have a conversation here about what it means to be all in. If you're like, I don't get this, I want to know a bit more, chat to us. It'd be great to talk through that. So personal is always better than a form. So don't just feel you have to fill a form in to get a point across. Come and chat to us. We'd love to talk about that. So we have paused for a while on the book of Acts, and today we are jumping right back into it, 2 feet first, straight into the book of Acts. We paused Acts, we ended at chapter 12 at the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapter 13 today. If you want, I've got a Bible, why don't you grab it and open it up to chapter 13. We paused back in the summer. So I think it was about end of June, early July, we stopped Acts and we went into another preaching series, and we've done a few preaching series in between, and now we're back into the book of Acts. And so let me just summarize the story so far. So we have done Acts chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12, and this book is about, the book of Acts, it is about the acts, the actions of the risen and ascended Jesus through his Spirit, which is flowing through his people, the church. And there has been this pattern all the way through the book so far, that a familiar pattern that we'll also see as we carry on as well in the book of Acts, that the church is growing, it's spreading, it's advancing. However, so does persecution and opposition. They go hand in hand. However, at one point, the main player in team persecution, you could call it, is a devout Jew called Saul, and we're going to see him a little bit more today. He changes his name today, and he is now not on team persecution. He's now on team Jesus, and he wants to reach both Jews and Gentiles, people like us. And so far, the church has spread from one small community, and it has spread now 400 miles. That's how far it's spread. In chapters 1 to 12, we've seen the gospel spread from one small group in a city to 400 miles. However, it's not what God's plan is. In Acts chapter 1, the call was to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And so we join Acts chapter 13 today, when Saul and his friend Barnabas, they begin to take the gospel not to Judea and Samaria. They're now going to the ends of the earth. This is the first time in Acts that the gospel begins to go overseas. This is an overseas move. And so why don't we read together Acts chapter 13. We're going to be, as we go through the series, we're going to be doing a chapter during each preach. And so if there's bits that we don't read, why don't you read that in your own time? Why don't you read the whole chapter to get the whole picture as we move through? But we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to be going from verse 1 to 13. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from his faith. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and he said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time and not able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. What follows after that is then Paul preaches Jesus again and again, and he does so, and then they some accept it, some reject it, and then he heads to Iconium, which we'll read about next week. But just a quick show of hands, all right? How many languages do you speak? So I want to see who in the room, and don't try to be clever, I speak Australian, I speak, like that's not, like, my children do that and it's not funny. So, but who speaks the most languages in the room? So if you speak, let's make it easy, if you speak one. Well done, good. I love how you've all now put your hands down. Anyone speak two languages? Anyone got the talent of two languages? Impressive. Anyone speak three? Oh, anyone speak four? No. I think if Amony Groves was here. So, well done. Steve, how many do you speak? Three, and what was it? There you go. Well done. Steve tops us all. How many speak? Three. What did you speak? Very good. We've got a mix of dialects in the church. It's good, isn't it? And so, personally, how many speak? So three as well. Impressive. So, I'm going to bit of tongue in cheek here, okay? Be ready for this. I speak two. I speak English, and I speak Christianese. There's a word in Christianese that has multiple meanings. It can create some form of confusion, and it's this word, the word sent. The word sent. In English, it has a very simple meaning. It is to cause something or someone to go or to be taken to a destination. However, in Christianese, sent can relate to many different things. It can be being a missionary, being a delegate, being anointed by the Holy Spirit. It can be about being appointed for a certain role. It can be about being a witness. It can be about being a representative. I'm obviously being a little bit silly, and all those ways of being sent, they're very true. But for the rest of the morning, I want to explore the nature of being sent from this passage, from the passage we've read this morning. So we will see all these uses of the word sent at play in this passage. And I'm not going to be really specific on those as I'm going through. Hopefully you'll see them as we go through. But I want to look at why and where and how we are sent, among other things. And so I hope that's okay. And so let's see. We're going to go through this passage just chronologically, going to work through it. And so let's see the impact of being sent. Firstly, in verses 1 to 5. Now, in the church at Antioch, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The first thing that we see about being sent is that we are sent by the Holy Spirit. We are sent by the Holy Spirit through the church. Sadly, I'm not sure many of us are being sent to Cyprus at the moment. I don't, maybe you are. Maybe you're feeling, yeah, I feel a call to go to Cyprus. I'm sure you do. However, look with me again at verse 1 and 2. We're told, where were they sent from? Where was it that they were sent out from? They were sent out from the church in Antioch. And who did the sending? They were sent by the Holy Spirit during a prayer meeting, in essence. And what were they sent out for? They were sent out for the work to which the Holy Spirit had called them. Right? It's worth being aware that in Acts 13, that when the Spirit sends people, when he sends people out into the world, wherever it is, whether it's to Tesco, where we might be working, or whether it's to Cyprus, planting a church, wherever it is, the Spirit sends people. He sends them through his church. And we see this in Acts 6. It happens again in Acts 6. It happens again in Acts 8 as well. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, you know what? We should go to Cyprus. It's not like a holiday that they planned and then it's been changed and they put it in the Bible to make it a church planting movement, right? They weren't sent when they were in their own room praying. Do you notice that? They weren't praying on their own. They were sent from their local church. They were sent with others behind them. They were sent to go. Mission wasn't independent from the church. Right, going out and doing missions, serving the poor, going to different places to take the gospel is not independent from the church. It was interdependent with the church. The church in Antioch, it didn't say, do you know what? We're going to pay Alpha to do our evangelism. That's what we're going to do. No, they didn't outsource evangelism. They owned it. They owned it together. Right, in the same way that we do. Yes, we use the tool of Alpha, but we do it as a church together. We're doing the inviting. We're doing the serving within Alpha. They were sent from the church family. The Spirit sending shouldn't be detached from the local church. It begins in the church and it is empowered by the church. Being sent for church matters because mission is communal, not solo. I think that's really important and something that we just mix up a little bit. Mission is communal, it is not solo. Yes, we could do it, but we have others praying with us, sending, going with us as we share the gospel with people. If you want to be sent somewhere by God, if you feel a real sense of, I just really feel called to overseas mission, let's talk. Let's send you really well. Let's get behind you. Let's pray for you. Let's see what God does. Some of you might be thinking, but I'm not sent, right? I'm not sent to different countries. Like Paul and Barnabas went to Cyprus. I ain't going to Cyprus. I ain't going to Yemen. I ain't going to wherever, right? I'm not called to serve in a mud hut, all right? That's just not my calling. That's not where I'm called to. I live in Bognor. I live in Littlehampton. I live in Westergate. I live in wherever. And you might think that, but I just want to push back a little bit, right? I just want to push back a little bit. Has God placed a country on your heart? Has he placed a people group on your heart? In the past, has God made your heart burn to serve the local community overseas in a specific country? Maybe now the Holy Spirit is just raising faith in you. It's just gone dormant and you've just thought, nah, I don't think that is of God. And actually he's raising something up now. Just let's chat. Let's talk that through. Let's send you well. Let's resource you. Look at verse 3. The Holy Spirit set them apart for the work to which he has called them. My question is this. Where has the Holy Spirit called you? Where has the Holy Spirit sent you? Is it a passion inside to serve churches overseas? Maybe. Maybe something you've never done or thought of until now. However, it might and most likely will be that God has sent you and he has called you to work in that supermarket. So he's sent you and called you to work in the NHS, to work in a school, to work in a high-level corporate company, to run your own business, to be a parent, to be a grandparent, to do retirement well. Where has God called you? Where has God sent you? Because we are all on mission if we're Christians. We could read Acts 13 and think, it's pretty fancy, all right? Going to Cyprus, whoa, pretty fancy. Going abroad to do God's work, that's pretty fancy. But Barnabas, all right, just stop for a moment. But from Barnabas' point of view, this is not fancy. This is not some glamorous journey he's going on. Barnabas grew up here. He's going home. He's not going anywhere fancy. He's not going anywhere impressive. He knows Cyprus. He grew up there. He's just going to go and see his old schoolmates again. Right? His call to be sent wasn't impressive. It was where the Spirit placed him. It's where the Spirit called him to go. Please grasp that today. Being a Christian in the place where we have been called is a spiritual matter, even if it doesn't seem that impressive or seem like it matters. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work with your whole being as working for the Lord, not human masters. Are you serving, if you are a Christian, my question to you is, are you serving God in the place that he has placed you? Christians are sent by the Spirit to be the church wherever we are. And that's important because we are sent by the Spirit, and we're sent by the Spirit to the spiritually hungry. We look at verse 6 to 7. Let's read on a little bit. The proconsul, whose name is Sergius Paulus, was an intelligent man. It's an important point. Luke is making it clear that Sergius, he isn't just fall for nonsense. All right? He's not just, oh, yes, I'll go with the next trend. All right? He has seen something of truth in the gospel and wants to know more. And so the proconsul, whose name was Sergio Paulus, Sergius, it's like a mix of both his names, is an intelligent man sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. I think the number of people in the UK who are like Sergius Paulus has increased recently. I think people searching for something truthful to hold on to has increased. I think spirituality and Christianity is not weird in the same way it was when I was in my 20s or my late teens. There may be people here this morning because you are spiritually hungry for something. I want to say to you, you are in the right place today. You are in the right place this morning. A very quick word of warning. If you are looking for something, if you are looking for something like this, I beg you, look in the right place. Please look in the right place. If you're exploring church, make sure that it's a church or it's content that preaches Jesus, that encourages community, that challenges your worldview. How do you know if that's happening? Well, it's likely that if they're preaching Jesus, it punches you right in the gut and it makes you realize that you are more sinful than you realize, and more loved than you dare imagine. And this goes for all of us. If we're listening to anything online, if we are just seeking more of God or more of whatever it is, don't just listen to content or listen to preaching that just fits your algorithms. Allow yourself to be challenged and shaped by the person of Jesus. We need to be shaped by him. Jesus is what you need. Jesus is what Paulus needed. Not floaty spirituality. It's not that. It's not something that fits your worldview or backs up what you think. No. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And Sergius understood that. Notice in verse 12, let's jump forward just a little bit. Notice in verse 12, it wasn't the spiritual weirdness that drew him in. Right? The miracle. There's a miracle that he sees this guy go blind. What was his reason for turning to Jesus? What brought him to faith was the teaching of Jesus. We must never move on from that. We must never move away from that. There is a spiritually hungry world that needs to be fed Jesus. It doesn't need to be fed spirituality, it needs to be fed Jesus. It needs to be fed God the Father loves them because Christ the Son died and took all of their punishment and all of their sin on the cross, and he was raised to life, and he doesn't leave you on your own to just struggle through life. He gives you his Holy Spirit living and indwelling within you that you can enjoy for the rest of your life until you are in glory with him, enjoying him forever and ever. If the church isn't feeding people that, something else or someone else will. And we see that in this story. We see that in verse 11. But Elymas the sorcerer, opposed them, and he tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. This is the point when being sent becomes real. This is the moment where being sent by the Spirit to the hungry world will require speech, because not everything and everyone who loves Jesus like we do, right? They will not. So we are sent to speak. Right? We are sent to speak. Look at what Paul says to counter the teaching of Elymas. He says in verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Paul and Barnabas, they weren't walking into neutral ground. It's not what they were stepping into. They weren't walking into neutral ground at Paphos. Although a spiritual hunger was there, there was also spiritual pushback. There was also spiritual pushback. Look, Elymas, he wasn't just awkward. He wasn't just annoying. He was spiritually opposed to goodness. He was spiritually opposed to truth. But I don't know about you, but when I was reading it, you just feel slightly uneasy, don't we? You just feel slightly uneasy about what Paul is saying. It just seems really harsh. You are a child of the devil, an enemy of things that are right, full of deceit. We live in a world which is full of tolerance, that we can tolerate each other. Why is it okay for Paul to say these words to Elymas? In verse 8, we see what Elymas was doing. He was trying to destroy and corrupt and break Sergius's faith with lies, with deception, with untruths. Paul's sharp words, they're not a rant. We see that in verse 9, he was filled with the Holy Spirit just before he says these words. We know they're not a rant because he's filled with the Spirit of God. We've seen that it is the opposite. Paul's moment with Elymas, it isn't a comfortable one. The truth of the matter is that faith and salvation, they were a big deal to Paul, even more than tolerance. It's funny, isn't it? We say we want to be a world that's tolerant. I personally would prefer to be loved, wouldn't you? Like, prefer to be loved over tolerated. That's what we give. That's what we're giving people. That's what Paul is doing here. He's loving people. He's not tolerating them. He's going way further. It's worth noting that Jesus said our words need to be seasoned with salt. All right, just to caveat this point, it needs to be seasoned with salt. I'm not saying you call out everything. I'm not saying that we tolerate no one. It's the opposite. We're not called to tolerate. Jesus doesn't say, oh, tolerate everybody. No, he goes way further. Love everybody. Love people. Let me put it in a question. How much do we care that people do not know Jesus? How much do you actually care that people will die without knowing the joy of the Lord? Paul's response and his confrontation is because he cared about the well-being, the end goal of somebody's life. This is an unlikely scene, I pray, but just imagine this, right? Just this idea of tolerance. Imagine you're a parent and you see your child and they're drinking, they've got a drink. They're being given a drink by somebody and it's got poison in it. What are you going to do? You do not tolerate that person. You don't tolerate what's going on. You run over. You slam the cup out of their hand. You say, don't do that. Don't even go there. Don't touch that. Don't you dare touch that. That's going to kill you. Right? We're not here to tolerate. You won't speak nicely. That's what Paul is doing here. Right? This is why Paul speaks the way he does, because Elymas was trying to destroy the young faith of Sergius. This matters to Paul and it matters to Jesus and it's got to matter to us. We are sent to speak up and we're sent to love people to Jesus. But here's the thing, being sent to speak isn't the end goal. It isn't the end of the story. The Spirit doesn't just send us to do things. We're not being sent to do things. He sends us to become like Jesus. That's what we're sent for. That's the real goal of being sent. Not just to say things clearly, go to places, be with people. No, we're to carry his likeness. That's what we're to do, is to carry his likeness. It says in verse 12, you are going to be blind for a time. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what happened, he believed, he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Just look at Elymas' name for a moment. His name means, well, we got two versions. First name we're given is Bar Jesus. That means he is the son of Jesus. And then we get the other name, Elymas, which means, it actually means wise one, knowing one. The man who thought he had all the answers. The man who thought he had all the wisdom of the world ends up blind and helpless, just looking for someone to take him by the hand and lead him back to his own house. And then you have Saul, and his name becomes Paul. And I mentioned about his name change earlier, but he's gone from having a Jewish name, a really powerful name. Saul was named after the first king of Israel, and he was part of the same tribe that Saul was part of. This was a symbol of power, of status, of pride. And then he changes his name to Paul, which isn't a Greek name, which isn't a Jewish name, it's a Greek name, which means little. So God changes his name. The man once proud of his lineage becomes small in his own eyes so that Jesus might be seen as great to him, because he wants to carry the likeness of Christ where he goes. Elymas, he tried his own wisdom. He tried his own tricks. He tried his own ways, but they left him blind. Paul went from proud to little. Do you notice that they both these guys, earlier on in Acts chapter 9, Saul's conversion, he goes blind. There's this moment where he goes blind. He meets Jesus, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? Bright light. He then needs to be led by the hand in that moment. And you see it here with Elymas. There's a similar story happening here. We are sent in the world to serve and love through the likeness of Jesus. The kind of people the Spirit sends are those who own their blindness and revel in Christ's amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. was blind, but now I see. That is the story. That is those who are sent. That we were blind, but now we see. We see who he is. That's why the word sent in Christianese is interesting, because when the Spirit sends, he doesn't just send us to go somewhere. He sends us to become someone. He's someone who looks more and more and more like Jesus. That's a challenge for us. Are we looking more and more like Jesus? Are we going the journey of Paul? Are we going from great and powerful and mighty to small? Are we taking that journey? That's how we know we're becoming more and more like Jesus. We are sent to be like Jesus. In our world, we can ask ourselves, what is my calling? What am I called to do? What's my purpose? In Jesus, we're given the answer. In the way that Paul and Barnabas are both sent, we see the answer. It isn't to chase power. It isn't to chase money. It isn't to chase sex. It isn't to chase success. Those are absolutely rubbish gods. It is to live sent. That's our purpose. That's our calling, is to live sent. Wherever God has placed us, we are to speak and to love people in his image. That's what we're to do. Barnabas was sent to Cyprus. It's an ordinary place, but he went faithful in obedience in his image of Christ. Paul, he was sent to Cyprus, and he modeled Christ's journey from great to small, and he spoke truth wherever he was sent. And what was the result? What was the result of their faithful obedience? What was their result of carrying Christ's likeness where they went? It was this. It was that Sergius went from curious to convinced. He went from curious to convinced. And it wasn't because there was this great miracle performed. It was because the person of Jesus was preached and taught. Elymas sadly went from proud to blind. He is the painful example of what happens when we resist the sent message of Jesus. It's a painful, painful image. We don't know if he becomes a Christian later on. We don't know. We don't know if he turns. We don't know if he has a Paul-like moment and turns and believes. I pray that he does. I pray that we see him in glory. But here's a reminder that of what happens when we resist the message of Jesus. Whoever you are, Christ sent the Spirit to fill you, to send you in his likeness. So I want us to respond this morning. I've been pondering how we respond. And I think there are two particular groups I'd like to pray for today. Number one, if you are spiritually hungry, if you're seeking God, I just want to encourage you, stop walking in the dark and take him by the hand. Stop groping around for money or power or fame, but come and know him. Come and let him lead you where he is taking you, because he takes you to a good place. He takes us into freedom. He takes us into joy. He takes us into hope. He takes us into compassion. He takes us into his grace, his gift that he gives you daily. And the other set is probably those who are already a Christian. Just ask the question, are you willing to be sent? And instantly you go, I don't really want to go to Cyprus. I don't want to go to Yemen. I don't want to go to those places. No. Are you saying, here I am, Lord, send me? That should be our response. If we're Christians, here I am, Lord. So if it is to go to a mud hut in, I don't know where, right? Or if it's to go to Venezuela, or if it's to go to Littlehampton, or if it's to go to Chichester, or if it's to go to, I don't know, where I can't think of any places, right? You get the idea. Where? Here I am, Lord, send me. Where is your obedience? Where is your heart? And so what I want us to do, band are going to come up, and I'd like to just pray for us to finish. I'd like to pray for both those groups of people. And if that's you, why don't we stand? Let's stand. If either of those are you, there you go. If either of those are where you fall, if you are spiritually hungry, or if you need to just recommit to being sent again, we need the Holy Spirit. Go back to verse 1. Right, it can happen in now in the church. We could say in Bognor, all right? There were prophets and teachers. While they were worshipping the Lord, the Holy Spirit said. And after they had fasted and placed their hands, they and sent them off. The two of them were on their way by the Holy Spirit. We are people who need the Holy Spirit to be sent, but also to be to come out. If we are spiritually hungry, he is who we need, pointing us to Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. And if you pray this along with me, why don't you come chat to me after? Right? If you've prayed either of these prayers along with me, chat to me after. That'll be good. And we're going to sing after I've prayed. God, I do pray that you, Holy Spirit, will come today. Lord, we sang earlier, we're waiting on you. God, we need you to come right now, Holy Spirit, and encourage us and to lead us. I just pray for those people across the room, whether they are spiritually hungry, whether they're spiritually dry, whether they are walking in the dark. I pray, Lord, that they would take you by the hand. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will hold their hand and take them to the cross. Take them to the place where mercy flows, where grace flows, where hope flows from. Lord, I pray that you will lead people to that place. And I pray for the first time today that those people who are spiritually hungry will commit to following Jesus. They'll say yes to Jesus for the first time because you've awoken something in their hearts, Holy Spirit. Will you do it? You do that in them. And I pray for those people in this room who are believers. They say, yeah, I follow Jesus wherever he goes. I pray, Lord, that we will be a church which says, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me, O God. Lord, I pray that we will know we are sent to be in the workplaces, to be sent into our family circles, to be sent into the community that we live, the street that we live. Lord, you take us, Holy Spirit, you lead us to where we are. And Lord, I pray that now people will say, I want to be on mission in that place. I pray for an awakening within us to be sent, to go, to serve the kingdom of God wherever it is. Here I am, Lord, send me. You do it, I pray, in your name. Amen.